From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. This week, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies on the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit, a subject of vital importance for the Church of Jesus Christ. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called Full of Song. The text is Isaiah 55 and verse 12. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. When sin is pardoned, our greatest sorrow is ended, and our truest pleasure begins. Such is the joy which the Lord bestows upon His reconciled ones, that it overflows and fills all nature with delight. The material world has latent music in it, and a renewed heart knows how to bring it out and make it vocal. Creation is the organ, and a gracious man finds out its keys, lays his hand thereon, and wakes the whole system of the universe to the harmony of praise. Mountains and hills and other great objects are, as it were, the bass of the chorus, while the trees of the wood and all things that have life take up the air of the melodious song. When God's word is made to prosper among us and souls are saved, then everything seems full of song. When we hear the confessions of young believers and the testimonies of well-instructed saints, we are made so happy that we must praise the Lord. And then it seems as if rocks and hills, woods and fields echoed our joyous notes and turned the world into an orchestra. Lord, lead me out into thy tuneful world as rich in praise as a lark in full song.
Sing praise to God, sing praises to His name. Sing praise, sing praise. emotions as he responds to his command. Losing galaxy, each star was on in space. The universe is his.
In the midst of this increasingly secularized and materialistic society, multitudes of men, women, and young people seem to have forgotten that they have immortal souls, and that one day they must stand before a holy God and face the ultimate judgment. Despite every effort to banish the reality of death from the mind, the Word of God declares, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment." How can a person be ready for that awful day? Is there a way to face God without fear? The great 19th century preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon answered this question in a powerful sermon entitled, "Preparing to Meet God." Let the Bible Speak now offers a booklet published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, which contains this vital message under the title, "Preparing to Meet God." In addition to the sermon text, the publication contains a brief biographical sketch of Spurgeon's life, as well as a schedule for reading the Bible through in a year, all contained in an attractive, conveniently sized booklet. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of "Preparing to Meet God," and we'll be happy to provide it. today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit as he brings the concluding portion of a message called Tempting, Grieving, and Quenching the Spirit. This message has three texts, Acts 5, verse 9, Ephesians 4, verse 30, and 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19. The first text recounts the sin of Ananias and Sapphira, a sin of deliberate hypocrisy. The second text, in Ephesians 4:30, warns believers against sins which grieve the Holy Spirit, sins such as lying, stealing, indulging in corrupt speech, or treating the things of God lightly. The third passage in 1 Thessalonians 5:19 commands us, quench not the Spirit. It warns against putting out the fire of the Spirit by such sins as denying His working, neglecting to pray with thanksgiving, or despising the Word of God, even by ignoring the Spirit altogether. Now Dr. Cairns concludes this message, tempting, grieving, and quenching the Spirit.
Couldn't we well say here when it says quench not the Spirit, never try to put out the fire of the Holy Spirit? Now, we don't want wild fire. We don't want spurious fire. We don't want man-made counterfeits. But on the other hand, neither do we want a cold, lifeless farce that calls itself Christianity. Oh, we have got to be so full of decorum in church. We have this stupid notion, and I say that honestly, it is stupid. Oh, I understand where it came from, and I can understand the good intentions that give rise to it, but nonetheless, it's a man-made stupidity that draws the distinction between a worship service and a gospel service. And you can't sing too hard on a Sunday morning, that's a worship service. Can't throw your head back and put your chest out and fill your lungs with air and really give God the glory. You don't say hallelujah on a Sunday morning. That's a worship service. Man, where did we ever come to that sort of pass? Man-made nonsense. You see, our decorum can ultimately come to be just a nicely colored shroud to cover the corpse of a dead church. Never think that a nice choir, and I like to have a good choir, but never think that a nice choir and high class music and a lovely form of service and everybody feeling aesthetically fulfilled is Christianity. For it's not. And what's more, however much it may be of peripheral value, it can never be of the essence of Bible Christianity. We don't have the Spirit of God. It doesn't matter what you have. You can have the best preachers, the nicest singers. You can have it all. But if you don't have the Spirit of God there, it's dead. Don't put out the fire of the Holy Ghost. How can we do that? How can we put out the fire? You look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and you'll find that the surrounding texts will show that you put out the fire by rebelling against the leading of the Lord and not accepting with praise His providential dispensations. Verse 18, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. When God is dealing, as we were singing this morning, in such a way that we cannot see, we're not willing to sing by faith and trust the leading of the Lord, but rather rebelliously we would try to have our own way. I want to tell you that is putting out the fire of the Spirit. You look at verse 18 again. There's an emphasis on prayer with praise. the neglect of prayer and thanksgiving. That puts out the fire of the Spirit of God. Where do churches first lose out with God? In their prayer meetings. That's where they first lose out. When we get used to the prayer meeting and we just come and go, and then we come less and less and less until finally prayer meeting is a dead meeting. May I tell you, if we lose the fire of God in our prayer meeting, we have lost the fire of God, period. Gone. Don't put out the fire in the prayer meeting. You can also put out the fire of God by neglect of the will of God. Verse 18 is speaking of the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There's one thing that ought to concern me, and that is the will of God. And Christians know the will of God, fly in the face of God and refuse to do the will of God. That's quenching the Spirit. Then, of course, verse 20. You can put out the fire by despising the Word of God. Despise not prophesyings, those inspired utterances of the living Word of God. That's how you put the fire out. Surely there's another way. The most insidious of all. I think this is the thing that is cursing our fundamental churches. And that is the neglect or the ignoring of the teaching of the Bible concerning the Holy Spirit. And especially concerning His fullness and His power. I don't want to harp on one theme, but I remind you again of what most of you at some time or another have said during this past year. Some of you have been saved for a few years, some of you have been saved for many years, but the almost unanimous verdict of this people has been, however long you've been saved, this is the first time in all your Christian experience that you've ever been led to study the Scriptures about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. That's not quenching the Spirit. To ignore Him. Still live as if He didn't exist. He's just a name that's dropped from a lip in prayer. To live as if there were no need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. To pray without reference ever to the promise that we will be filled with the Holy Ghost. To go through our lives without ever spending time before God, pleading those promises, crying to God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, that is not only grieving to Him, but quenching Him. Now these are serious issues. We're saying we're called to be a holy people. A people in fellowship with Christ, and whose fellowship is maintained by the personal activity of God the Holy Spirit. We must have a living experience of the Holy Ghost. To sin against the Holy Spirit is not only a folly, but it's a tragedy. It hurts you as an individual. It hurts us all as a church. As I finish this morning, perhaps the Lord, somewhere along this message, has spoken to you about carelessness in these areas. Perhaps the Lord has made you feel conviction about one or more things. Remember, conviction is one thing. To have a lasting benefit is a very different thing. I've been in so many meetings where people have had a sudden feeling. If the preacher were to make a an appeal for Christians might all respond. There's nothing wrong with them responding. I have made many appeals to Christians, and I do so again. But so often the response lasts no longer than the day, or that day and the day following. Remember this. The Holy Ghost points to Christ. And if God has convicted you of failure or backsliding or sin, what is to be done about it? The Spirit of holiness points you to Christ. He is the way of holiness. He is the one who has made unto us sanctification or holiness. And if you're going to walk in the Spirit, then, my friend, the way is simple and clear. How do you walk in the Spirit? Now, I could give you a whole lot of answers to that. Walk in obedience to the Bible. Walk in prayer. Walk in the will of God. Walk in a way of commitment to the Lord. Walk in a way of submission. All those things are true. The question still lies, how on earth do you do it? And the answer is very, very plain in Scripture. If you're to walk in the Spirit, to use Paul's words in Hebrews 12, you run with patience the race that is set before you, looking off unto Jesus. Looking off unto Jesus. How did you get saved? By faith in Christ. How do you go on with God? By faith in Christ. My best advice to you would be, certainly feeling your sin, go before God with honest confession. Honest confession. Let the Lord put His finger right on the spot. Don't ever try to run away from the time of confession. Some of the most important times in my life have been times when God has dealt with me specifically and broken my heart and brought me to tears and the end of myself over what He has been revealing. Don't run away from confession. Get to the place of confession. Cry to God by His Spirit to show you the fullness of Christ. I want to tell you, your heart is drawn out to see your Savior. And you see there's power in Him to keep you. And you live looking unto Jesus. You live in the Spirit. And while you're looking to Christ, you will not tempt the Spirit, or grieve the Spirit, or quench the Spirit. May God indeed speak to our hearts and make us the people who know their God, who walk in His Spirit by the faith of His Son. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. We do want every head bowed and every eye closed. The meeting's almost over. We just want a moment or two of silence, quietness before the Lord. When you and I personally can ask the Lord to speak to our own hearts, to take a dealing with our own souls, and to bring us to a place of real personal blessing, we have dealt with three serious and sadly all too prevalent sins against the Holy Spirit of God. I wonder what the Lord has to say to you today in these areas. Make sure that you don't leave this meeting without even in the purer setting crying, Lord, reveal my sin and reveal my Savior and make me a man of God. Our Father, we make these words the prayer of our heart. Grant that no soul will leave this meeting today either unsealed or in a backslidden condition. God, save us from hypocrisy. Save us from injuring the cause of Christ. Save us from quenching, tempting, or grieving thy Spirit. O Holy Ghost, the author of revival, come with quickening power to our souls today. Fill us and use us, we pray, for the glory of our Savior's name. Part us with thy blessing and keep us in thy fear. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.